Jay Radliff joins us now from daytradefund.com to take a look at our market, and then we're also going to talk about what's happening with Boeing lately, as Jay spent years as an administrator in the airline industry. Hey, Jay, welcome in. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Good morning.
So here we go. I mean, the consumer price index climbed 3.2% in February, and the Fed's got a goal of that 2% growth, and not good again. So not moving in the right direction. I mean, yeah, there may be a little silver lining. Well, it's not as bad as it could be, but it's still bad.
It is, and I guess the best way to describe it in stock movement prices would be, well, the market's not up, not down. It's just kind of moving sideways, and that's kind of what we're seeing from the inflationary data right now. It's not coming down. It's not going up to a great extent. But the problem is, all of these people that are jumping up and down, kind of like a home alone, I'm living alone tantrum, is they want their interest rate cuts, and they want them now. The problem is that the data simply doesn't support it. We came into this year with Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, saying that he looked at the very real possibility of 3 interest rate cuts over the 12-month period of 2024. Although you had analysts who apparently are a lot smarter than the Fed chair who said, no. We're looking at least 7 interest rate cuts. And you and I talked about at the time, that was just ridiculous. There was just no way that was going to happen because the Fed slowly raised interest rates and they're going to decrease it in a very slow pace. But right now, the inflationary data that's out there simply doesn't support an interest rate cut sooner than later. We might get one this summer. I certainly don't expect it before June or July.
You know, you're right. And these people screaming on the sidelines and hoping and wishing and shouting, oh, we're going to get an interest rate cuts. I feel it coming. Yes. It likens me to looking at a 5-year-old standing in the kitchen, and they're the people screaming for interest rate cuts. And the 5-year-old wants more ice cream. And Jerome Powell, the mother, says, no, if I give you more ice cream, you're going to throw up. So, no, we're not giving you more ice cream yet. It's not time.
Well, that's it. Plus, there's a lot of people said, gee, can you believe the interest rates are 5% or whatever it might be for a mortgage on a house? And I'm thinking, yeah, but when you apply historical perspective to that 5%, that's not really a bad thing. I mean, there have been times when it's been a lot higher. But the issue has been recent history has been, you know, I got my house at 3.3%, Jay. That's kind of what they expect the norm to be. Not a, it was great when it happened, but things are going to be going up from here kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the era where a lot of people want to return to, where, you know, I don't want to call it a free money kind of society type thing, but something where, you know, the interest rates were really low, the companies could do different things, type of things, and not be hindered by a lot of the debt that would normally be associated with what they do, blah, blah, blah. But look, the bottom line is that was a period of time that was unusual. It's recovering. It could continue to recover. And this battle with inflation is not over. And it could be something that we are battling with for the next year or two. Yeah. It's not a one and done. We've still got that battle that's ongoing. And the Fed chair knows if he backs off now and inflation blows past us, the idea of staying ahead of it is gone. It's over. Yeah. So they're doing everything they can. And I think so far, based on the results, JT, they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, and a lot of people are not even aware, let alone remember, 12% interest rates for mortgages. So, yeah. Let's talk about what's happening with the banking crisis. Are things any better there now?
Well, you know, it's been a year since we had the banking panic, if you will, mm-hmm. from the regional bank issues when we had a bank fall within like 36 or 37 hours. And the thought has been since we've gone this distance, you know, I guess regional banks are in pretty good shape. They're not. There's still been several that have had to kind of be bailed out or had different things happen to them to keep it from becoming a newsworthy event. And we're seeing a lot of these regional banks that are still holding the paper, the mortgage loans, on a lot of these corporate office buildings that are starting to, in essence, be defaulted on, for lack of a better term, because that the occupancy rate in some of these things is 40-43%, not nearly enough to pay the bills. And we're seeing some of these things really start to impact some of these lower or the smaller regional banks. It's something that we could see as a headline as we go into this summer, and certainly I hope not. I don't want another round of that because it really shakes the confidence of a lot of people when you're worried about where your money's at in the bank.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, switch gears. Boeing, you spent years in the airline industry. We've talked about the troubles they've been having with their planes, and now they've got a real mess in their hands. Apparently, that whistleblower, the former Boeing employee who's been giving evidence as a whistleblower in that lawsuit against the company, has been found dead in South Carolina from what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Oh, really? And Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, too, right?
Yeah, and I remember a certain Clinton opponent that was found with a suicide and his arms crossed. So, yeah, those types of things you look at and you just kind of go, excuse me, what? And this was John Barnett.
Yeah.
This guy was a 32-year veteran for Boeing. He was a quality control manager for Boeing at their 787 Dreamliner production facility. And he came forward because he said, look, the culture has been far too long at Boeing, rushed to get these airplanes through, and we're not doing from a quality control inspections of what we needed. He said, look, there's serious problems with the oxygen systems. One in four of these breathing masks will not work in an emergency. He also said that when they were at a out of parts on the production line, that supervisors would tell the employees, go to the scrap bin, you know, where you throw the parts that are no good, pick out the best one, and let's put it on the airplane so that there's no delay in production. Now, the Department of Transportation investigated and found a lot of what he said was indeed accurate. Now, the Department of Justice is investigating, and Boeing has been asked to produce papers on the paperwork for the air plug, the door that blew out, so they could see who was working on it, the timeline and all this and that. JT, Boeing can't find that paperwork.
No, imagine that.
You know, it just the arrogance of this is just gnawing at me, because it's like Boeing, and this is just my opinion, saying, don't tell us what to do. Yeah. Don't you dare tell us what to do, because even though 5 years ago after the two Boeing MAX crashes, we promised we were going to get better. We promised quality control would be like nothing else. Nothing apparently has changed. And we've had several whistleblowers from Boeing come forward. And I just hope, and pray that we can fix this, because obviously over the last 5 years, regardless of the promises from Boeing executives, nothing seems to have changed.
Yeah, it's not a good look, that's for sure. Jay Ratliff, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.